All right, well, we're going to be in the Psalms this morning, Psalm 183. Psalm 183. Pardon me. 138. I'm Lex Dixdick this morning. Swap that. Yeah. Yes. Yes. 138. Psalm 138. Is there a Psalm 183? No. No. Okay. No. Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love. I thank you that you do watch over us, and you have never forsaken the works of your hands. Father, we thank you. We praise you. How blessed we are to be in your house this morning, to know that just as you promised, your Spirit is here with us in that special way, to know that your blessed Son is our advocate standing at the right side of your throne. Oh God, what a blessed life we have as believers. Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know for sure they'd be in heaven when they die, I pray they'd get that settled today. I pray they'd trust your Son to forgive them of their sins once and for all and receive eternal life as a free gift. And Father, for everyone who's already done that, it is our reasonable service just to let you control our lives. And I pray you'd help us to do that. I ask that you'd fill me with your Spirit in ministering and teaching and preaching the Word of God this morning. The church will not be helped apart from your Spirit and your Word. Please edify your church, glorify your Son. I thank you for the Word that's gone forth already, the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, and how blessed we are to hear thy word and know that your Spirit can help us to grow strong and help us to follow in it and to learn by experience and know the blessings of your word in our lives. The great purpose that we have here while we wait to meet you, be it through death or the rapture. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd edify your church this morning. I thank you so much for this church, and for the privilege that we have to gather together, the love, unity that you have put here for so many years. I thank you and I praise you. Revive our hearts that we might be brighter lights for you. Father, help us in these things for thy glory. Be with those in the nursery. I thank you for that ministry. Therefore, others can be in the service. Bless there, fill with thy spirit. Fill my dear wife with your spirit, relaying the message in sign. It's always a difficult and challenging task. Fill her and use her, I pray. And Lord, I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
The title of the message this morning, simply, A Song of Life. A Song of Life. I was reading through the Psalms. Reading through my Bible devotions this year. I read through the Bible several times each year. And as I came to the Psalms, I just decided to read through the whole Psalm just as a book, and I kind of did that. And how I did it this year. And for some reason, Psalm 138 kind of stuck out to me. And a lot of the Psalms are just kind of an overview of life. This isn't the only one. But what a blessing that from beginning to end, we can be directed by songs in the Bible. And isn't it interesting that many of the Psalms are written by David? This one also is. The sweet psalmist of Israel. For all of our problems that we face, and there are struggles in here, great trials. Many, I know what they are. I've spoken with you. I'm sure there's many I don't. But we look at the life of David. I wonder if our struggles could match what he faced. We'll talk some about that during the message, but how wonderful that God would use him to write songs that sing about life. David suffered a lot in his life. A lot from persecution. And by the way, some from his own sin. We all have. And yet he sings songs of praise unto God, the sweet psalmist of Israel. So a song of life. I don't know about you, but I would like to picture my life as a song unto God. Wouldn't you like to picture your life as a song offered up in praise to God? Well, we can receive some instruction in how to do that from this psalm this morning. As believers, if we would sing the song of life, we must, number one, resolve to praise. We must, number one, resolve to praise. Look at verse 1. It's a psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. I will praise thee with my whole heart. We need to be a people that praise our mighty God. And it is fitting that we praise him for all that he's done for us. In Psalm 33 in verse 1. The scriptures tell us, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely or fitting for the upright. Folks, if you've been born again, it's only fitting that you praise God the rest of your life. If we've been born again, it's only fitting that we praise God the rest of our life. Whatever comes our way. You know, the Bible teaches very clearly, and you won't hear this in very many churches today, but the Bible teaches very clearly that if we got what we deserve for our sin, we would die and go to the place that the Bible calls hell. And no amount of good works can deliver you from that. Salvation is a gift that is not offered to people who deserve it. It's a gift that is offered to sinners who cry out for forgiveness and receive it only as a gift. And so everything above hell, everything except for hell, is a blessing from God once you're born again. That next breath you just took, that was a gift from God.
Book of Daniel says he holds the next he holds your next breath in his hand. You just breathe another breath, that was a gift from God. And so we ought to praise him, especially we that are born again. Psalm 147:1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. You see, praising God will bring pleasantness to your life and to my life as well, as we learn to praise him, be praising him all the time. We don't want to be going around like one preacher Theophilus who says we don't want to be going around like Chief Raincloud. You know, every time you talk to him, you find all the things that are wrong. And we want to have a rejoicing spirit, amen? Be thankful. Be praising God. Listen, God has done wonders for all, the lost and the saved. He's done wonders for all. Psalm 145:9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You know the person that hates God and blasphemes his name? You know that rain that waters your garden out there falls on his garden too? Or her garden, that person's garden. You know that sun comes up at their place and sets at their place just like it does at yours? God's goodness is to all. That's a good thing for us to note, amen? Because we're supposed to love our enemies, aren't we? We're supposed to be good to all. Speaking to the idol worshipers in Athens, Paul was preaching a message. They had a whole bunch of false gods that they worshipped. And Paul said about that, he said, God that in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. God, they were worshiping false gods, blaspheming God, and God didn't condemn them. He just let them go. And what did he do while they were doing that? Nevertheless, Acts 14:17, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God does that even for the lost. He's worthy of praise. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is so faithful. You set your watch by that sun coming up and going down. He's so faithful. We ought to praise him. A couple things about praising him. We worship the highest power. We praise him. He is the highest power. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Verse 1, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Now notice that word gods there, that's a small g. You say, well, what does that mean in our Bible? Who are the gods? Well, frankly, it's just the rulers. It's just those whom God has given authority. God gives the government authority. God gave the priests and such and the leaders in Israel authority. God gave the prophets authority to speak his word. Someone whom God has transferred authority to on the earth is in that sense a small g God. A father would be, in a sense, a small g God over his family. But it just means that they're an authority. They're not divine. They're not to be worshipped. They're an authority that is set up in our lives. But who's the highest power? God is. God is the highest power. And so we worship him. We ought to praise him. Think about the goodness of God. Israel thought about how great their God was. And by the way, he's our God now too, isn't he? We're learning that in Galatians. Israel doesn't have any. We are in the church age. There's either Jew or Gentile, bond or free. There's no favorites with God once you're born again. God loves you through Christ the same. But Israel was recalling what a great God they have. Deuteronomy 4:7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Who has a God like we have? And by the way, Nobody, because there's only one God.
If you don't have the God like we have, folks, you don't have a God.
And that God, what? He's so nigh to us. He's ready to hear us when we call upon His name. Deuteronomy 4:7 talks about that. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, what? Who can be against us? If Almighty God's on our side, what do we have to fear? Let me praise in Him. We worship the highest power. Another reason for praise, we walk in the highest precepts. Think about that. We have the blessed Word of God to follow in our lives, to lead us and guide us and direct us. The Jews also said, look at verse 2 first in the context here. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Wow. We have the paths of God, the word of God to follow in, to live by. What a blessing. We ought to praise God for that. The Jewish nation did that as well. They said also in Deuteronomy 4:8, the same passage I quoted in the last point, they said, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And by the way, we have a better covenant than they had, according to the Bible. Who else has such wonderful direction to live life by? We ought to praise God. We know about eternity. We were out knocking on doors yesterday, and we spoke to one man who is a Buddhist, and it's kind of a nice neighborhood, except for his place. But we walked in and talked to him for a while, and he's a Buddhist, and he may be an offshoot of the Buddhists. He may believe some strange things that Buddhists don't believe. I don't know, but he said, I'm a Buddhist. You can tell by some things that are in my yard and such. But some of the things he said was, that being a Buddhist, he says, man wasn't intended to live long. There's no eternity for man. He said, man wasn't intended to till the earth. That is a misinterpretation of the Bible. You're supposed to let the earth grow. And when man started doing those things, man interrupted and he kind of ruined everything. There's no plans for man's to die and go back to the dirt. And you know what? That's what he lives by. He lives. He says, we're supposed to live for now. And that's it. And you know what? I was able to share with him, I'm a Christian and I don't live for now. I live for eternity. Because I know where I'm going after I die. He was able to share about Jesus Christ. And he knew about Christianity. And we talked back and forth, had a good conversation. But we agreed that I wasn't going to become a Buddhist and he wasn't become a Christian. But I'm so thankful that I have a better book to live by, amen. I have better commands to live by. And by the way, I have a book that has foretold the future. No one else has that. Christianity is the only one who have fulfilled prophecy in the Bible. Nobody else has that. And we walk in the highest paths. Thank God for that. So we need to resolve to praise God. I want to get up and praise God. This is the day the Lord has made. What? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, we'll see how happy I am today. No, it didn't say that. I'm going to rejoice because I can always rejoice in the Lord. Amen. No matter what may come my way. I have Jesus as my Savior. I have heaven as my home. I have the Holy Spirit living in my heart as God's proof that He owns me. I have the Word of God to quicken me and make me more like Jesus as I read it and read it and read it and yield to it. What a blessing. We ought to praise Him.
And secondly, if our life is going to be a song of praise unto God, we need to know that we must resort to prayer. Look at verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Wow. How many of you are thankful for answered prayer? I'm sure everyone. I'm thankful that God hears our prayers. That we can go to Him anytime and often, and we should. Always. Praying always with all prayer, the Bible says in Ephesians. Matthew 7, ask. By the way, that means ask and keep on asking. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me in prayer. I will help you. I'll strengthen you. It's that song we sing, I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, or righteous, depending on your book, omnipotent hand. Yes, he'll help us. Resort to prayer. John 7:37. Jesus was preaching at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And he says at that feast, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsty? Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you a drink. By the way, he'll give you a drink that'll satisfy you. Amen. You're seeking him. So we need to be sure that we're people that resort to prayer. What else do we need to see? We see here? We need to remember his preeminence, God's preeminence. Remember his preeminence. If our life is going to be a song, like a song offered up unto God. Look at verses 4 and 5. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. They shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. All the kings. Did you know that one day this whole world, and by the way, every intelligent being that's ever been created is going to bow down to God? He's the preeminent one. Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, by the way, that means God and ruler, God's going to say, that's what I wanted from my creation. And by the way, it's going to come. And you know, it's interesting that David was a great king. And he conquered many nations. There were those who didn't like David, didn't like the idea of Israel becoming a great ruling kingdom. Did that stop God? No, it didn't. What did God do? God exalted David, didn't he? And he brought him to great prominence so the nations that fought Israel were greatly defeated. The nations that come to help others that were fighting Israel also were greatly defeated, until David and the kingdom of Israel was highly exalted, and those nations had to step back and say, whoa, there's a mighty God with him. And they ended up paying Israel tribute and not fighting with David and Solomon later on. But you know, one day Jesus is going to return, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. I thank God that we can do that now by choice. When I received it as my Savior, you know, we bow the knee, we bow the heart. You are the Savior, you are the Lord of creation. I receive you into my life. But one day those who have rejected him will also say, you are Lord, and then he'll cast them away. But they'll say it because they had to. They were forced.
They were ultimately defeated like David's enemies. They'll have to confess, but there'll be no blessing after the confession for them. They'll just be forced to confess the truth before they're cast to the place that they've chosen by not receiving Christ as their Savior.
Remember his preeminence. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Praising his name. In 2013, there was a student who sued the district over a series of Christian meetings that had been held on school property. This was in, I'll keep reading, I forget where it was at, but I'll maybe run it to somewhere. Where was it? Mississippi. A student sued the district because of some Christian meetings that were being held on the school property. And and won the lawsuit. The district settled the lawsuit, acknowledged they had violated the students' First Amendment rights. This is back 2013. In July, the U.S. District Court Judge Carlton Reeves ruled that the district had violated the agreement after a Christian minister delivered a prayer at an awards ceremony. Judge Reeves, who was appointed to the bench by President Obama, came down hard on the school district, ordered them to pay thousands of dollars in fines. He also warned the district that future violations would cost them $10,000. He said, quote, defendants are permanently enjoined from including prayer, religious sermons, or activities in any school-sponsored event, including but not limited to assemblies, graduations, award ceremonies, athletic events, and any other school event, is what the order read. So they had a football game coming up. It was Mississippi's Brandon High School. And there'd be no halftime show under the Friday night lights in that high school football game. The band was ordered off the field, not to be on the field, because the Christian hymn, "How Great Thou Art," was a part of their halftime show, in violation of the court order, of the district court order. Words about the band. That the band was going to be able to play at the game got spread around the town there, and emails and Facebook and messages and nearly over the whole state, from DeSoto County to Yazoo County. They figured something must be done. This is wrong. People like this, they said, had to be sent a message, they felt. So the locals gathered in coffee shops and garages and began to devise their plan. Here's what they did. What they did would become known as the musical shot heard around the world. During halftime of the Friday night's game, of course, the band couldn't take the field, and there was an awkward silence. A lone voice began to sing the forbidden song. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art." Pretty soon, another one began to sing. Brittany Mann was there, and she witnessed it the entire moment. One began to sing, another. She says, "We were just sitting there. Then one by one, people started to stand. At first, it started out as a hum, But the sound grew louder and louder. She said it was truly incredible. It was a truly incredible moment to watch hundreds of people singing together at the stadium. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art." And they all stood up and they sang, "How great thou art." You know why? Because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when the little gods G tell us not to worship the big God G, we worship the big God G anyway. Amen. Because if they're speaking against him, they're not speaking in their own authority. They're speaking out from under their own authority. He's their authority. And when he says obey and they say don't, we obey. Amen. When they say, "Don't you worship him," we worship him anyway. Amen. Thank God. We need some bold Christian living in our lives today to unashamedly praise God. David said here in Psalm 138, "Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee." I'll sing praise unto you before those people that I know hate who you are, God, and hate your word. I'll sing "Amazing Grace." I'll sing "How Great Thou Art." Why? Because that's the truth. And there's one God. That's what people need. That's what people need to hear. God's people and God's enemies alike. Amen. And praise God for that. Remember his preeminence. Fourthly, recognize our poverty. Recognize our poverty. Look at verse 6. "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he" what? "Respect unto the lowly." You see, if we read the Bible, we read about God and the holiness of God. It's a humbling education, isn't it? Humility is not something we just have to... Humility is just when we see how we are in reality before God. We've sinned against God. We can't even live the Christian life. Anyone who lives a Christian life, it's not them, it's Jesus Christ living it through them. It's the Holy Spirit living it through them. We can't even claim credit for that. It's God that does that through us. We realize how lowly we are. We recognize our poverty. Matthew 5:3, the great Sermon on the Mountain, and in another place on the plain, the same sermon. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those who realize, "I got no strength apart from God. I'm not worthy of heaven. I had to receive that as a gift. Only reason I'm going to heaven is because when I asked Jesus Christ to save me and trusted in what he did alone, not my good works, then he put his Holy Spirit in me and said he'd never take it away. And God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath life, hath not life. Only reason I'm going to heaven is because I got the Spirit living in me and he said he wouldn't take it away. Not because I always do what he wants me to do. I often fail. We all would confess that. Thank God that his Spirit won't leave us. And he is the seal for our salvation. Recognizing our poverty. Psalm 40:2. "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." I think of what I was before Christ. And often what I've been after Christ, and it brings me shame. I'm so thankful that I got saved before I had children. I'm so thankful that I could teach my children this blessed book, that I could introduce them to my mighty God and my mighty Savior, and know that his Holy Spirit would come into their hearts also the moment they would turn to him and trust him. I'm so thankful for that. Titus 3:3, "What were we?
We also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Don't deceive yourself, we've all been there.
Recognize our poverty. All these things will be necessary if our life is going to become a song, an offering unto God. What else do we see? We're going to have to relinquish our pride. Look at the end of verse 6. But the proud he knoweth afar off. But the proud he knoweth afar off.
God moves the proud away from him.
You ever see those football players and they're running up, you know, the ball's handed off to the running back and he's running up through the middle. Someone comes after him. What does he do? He stiff arms him. You ever see that? He keeps the distance. The Bible says, God knoweth the proud. Oh, he knows them, but afar off. You're not going to come nigh to me with that pride. I won't come nigh to him with my pride. So if I'm going to have a life that's a song to God, we're going to have to relinquish our pride. We're going to have to recognize that when it shows its ugly head, you know, and confess that.
Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, and seven are an abomination to him. Number one on the list, a proud look.
A proud look.
How do you stop a proud look? Nip it in the bud. You got to nip it while it's when it's a proud thought.
See? God doesn't like pride. James 4:6. God gives more grace. What's grace? God's goodness we don't deserve. Never go to God thinking we deserve some goodness from him. Always go to God. His throne is called what? The throne of grace. We go to God that we may obtain mercy. In other words, we don't get what we do deserve. That we may obtain mercy and find grace. That means we do get what we don't deserve to help in time of need. That's the only way we come to God.
So we come for that grace as often as we need it. But don't ever think we deserve it. God resisteth the proud, James 4:6, and what? Giveth grace unto the humble. Oh, he's ready to give us whatever we need, as long as we recognize we're getting it from the benevolent hand of the Almighty Giver.
I'd never found him say, no, you can't have the strength for that right now.
No, I won't meet that need. If we've gone in a humble heart, and it's for according to his will,
relinquish our pride. 1 Peter 5:5 talks about us being subject to one another. All of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Pride is a sneaky thing. Story is told of a man who came to the altar in a revival meeting. He came to the altar pouring out his heart along the way. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. A little while later, his friend came to the altar in the same meeting with the same words as he went. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. This man and his friend had returned to the back of the church during the meeting. A little while later, another man came to the altar crying, Lord, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. The man in the back looked at his friend and said, look who thinks he's nothing. Look who thinks he's nothing. Pride's sneaky, isn't it? It can slip right in there.
Can slip right in there. So in conclusion, what do these things bring? As we sing the song of life, we will be revived in our problems. We'll be revived in our problems. Look at verse 7. Though I walk, what's it say? In the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me.
Doesn't that good?
In the midst of troubles, David says, right, thou wilt revive me. Now I mentioned David is the human writer of the psalm. The Holy Spirit, of course, is penning it through David and through David's experiences. What kind of troubles did David have? Well, he had people trying to kill him. If I remember correctly, I don't remember the number now, but it was several thousand men, chosen men that Saul had chosen out to help him go on David hunts. Hunting trained soldiers. I mean the good ones. And that was what they looked forward to. He had people hunting his life to kill him. At one point, the people that had gathered together on his side all wanted to kill him for the decisions he made. Anybody got somebody hunting you down, trying to kill you? Anybody got that trial to deal with today? David dealt with that often. He went from day to day for a few years, wondering if he was going. It would be by the grace of God that he lived through another day. And he said, "In my troubles, you helped me." By the way, David had some troubles of his own making, didn't he? Anybody have those? Yeah. All our hands would be up. Remember that sin with Bathsheba and then murdering her husband? That brought David a lot of heartache, a lot of sorrows, and a lot of tears. By the way, a lot of death in his family. But you know what he was saying? God helped me through those too. Even through the difficult stuff that I deserved from my own sin. He loved me. And he gave me the strength to get through them. I'm glad we have a God like that. Amen. I'm glad we have a God like that. We will be revived in our problems. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod, to beat off the enemies, those that are trying to attack me and persecute me. That staff for the crook on the end, to jerk me back into his will when I decide that wandering might be a little bit better for me. Either way, he helps us, doesn't he? We will be revived in our problems. And then what else do we see? We will be refined for his purposes. We will be refined for his purposes. Look at verse 8. The Lord will what? Perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Oh my goodness, what a blessing. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we love those verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation's a gift by grace through faith. That whole thing's a gift. Don't have to work for it, just have to receive it. But what's the next verse say? After you do, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God saved us that we might serve him, that we might be like Jesus and love others and love God. That we, like John Baptist, Brother Dennis mentioned in the message this morning, said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Let me tell you right now, if you're born again, the best thing about you is the same thing as the best thing about me, and that's the Spirit of God living in you.
And that goes for every believer that's ever walked the face of the earth.
We'll be refined for his purposes. We are to live our lives, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author, what? And finisher of our faith. He's going to perfect his work. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down, work done, at the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God. Think about how God cares for us as he perfects us in the image of Christ, changes our lives. God gives us sight for our journey. Proverbs 4:18 says this, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." I'm so glad thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this is leading me unto the perfect day. That is a day that I will see God, that I will serve God, that I will yield to God, that I will become mature in my life. This book shows me where to go. It shines that light. How to follow that path.
Then what's it do?
It's good to know the way.
But what if you look at the way and it seems awful steep and awful rough?
Well, he also gives strength for the journey. Listen to Psalm 18:32 talking about perfection. Psalm 18:32. "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect."
He shows us the way to maturity, the way to Christ-likeness, and then he says, "And I give you strength to walk it." You see it, and you can walk it. I give you strength to walk it.
That could be, well, I might know the way, and I may have the strength to walk it, but I may be fearful inside.
Well, God takes care of that too.
Listen to Isaiah 26:3 regarding being perfect or mature. "Thou wilt keep him," what? "In perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee."
See, that's peace and strength of heart
and soul. What did David say? Look at verse 3. "In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengtheneth me," what to say? "With strength in my soul."
And I'll guarantee you, that beats strength in your body any day. And you won't have a joyous life if you have strength in your body and not strength in your soul. But you can have a joyous life if you have strength in your soul and don't have strength in your body. We need that.
We need that. We will be refined for his purposes. Think of what Jesus said, wrapping it up. Jesus praying for us in John 17:22. "And the glory which thou gavest me," as he prays to his Father, "the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them." Wow. "That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me." Here it is. "That they may," what? "Be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me." This will blow your mind. "And hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Did you get that? God loves me as a Christian, and you as a Christian, as he has loved his Son. That blows my mind. How do we wrap our brain around that? Oh, do we see how our life can be a song unto God through all that he's given us, all that he's provided for us in Christ? Charles Spurgeon said, "When I thought God was hard," Charles Spurgeon was a great Baptist preacher in England. When I thought God was hard, I found it easy to sin. But when I found God was so kind, so good, so overflowing with compassion, I smote upon my breast to think that I could ever have rebelled against one who loved me so and sought my good. Oh my goodness. Look at God's good through this psalm. Look at verse 2. Look at the end of the verse. He says, praise him, what? Middle of the verse. For thy what? Loving kindness and for thy truth. For thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Look at verse 3. When I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Isn't God good? Look at verse 6. Though he be high, yet he hath what? Respect unto the lowly. Look at verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Praise God. And of course, verse 8 here, thou wilt perfect that which concerneth me. What's it say? Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Remember I said we have better promises than the Old Testament? David lived in a time when he saw God's Spirit inside of a king. The king's name was Saul. And David saw a time when God took his spirit from that king. And so David could rightly say, don't forsake me. He feared that. We have a promise that was not in that sense given in the Old Testament. Hebrews 13:5, Jesus says this, I will, what's the word? Never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus told his disciples when he was here in body, he says, his spirit's with you. He dwells with you, because Jesus was dwelling with them. But then he said, he shall be in you. And he'll abide with you forever. You'll be stuck with him forever. Amen to that. He's living inside me forever. Amen to that. Feel kind of sorry for him, but amen to that. And that's what God does through salvation. Think about this closing thought. God is here with us, folks. Paul prayed for the believers in Thessalonica. He wanted to see them, that he and others, by God's grace in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, could perfect that which is lacking in your faith, that maturity. Epaphras prayed for his fellow believers at Colossae. He was a member of the church at Colossae. Paul started there. He prayed for them in Colossians 4:2, that they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Truly furnished unto all good works. Perfect doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. It means mature and strong. It means when you sin, you go to God and confess it, and you forsake that thing and move on. That's what it means. Think about this. In closing thought, and I'm done. Remember the story of the prodigal son? That's actually kind of mislabeled. You see, that father had two prodigal sons. One of them left to satisfy his selfish lusts. And the other one stayed on the father's farm and served in his self-righteous pride. They were both prodigal sons. The one wayward son came back, eventually came to himself and said, he was ready to just make me a... He got himself in such a mess, like to die, starve to death. Recognize his sins. Just make me one of your servants. He came back with the idea, just make me a servant, is what he wanted to tell his father. Father, now he received him with great joy, blessed him, restored him to his blessings that he had there with his father. But the other son was angry about that, the pride prodigal. He said, I've been serving you faithfully all these years, and you never gave me a kid and cooked up a lamb barbecue for me and made a big dinner for me like you did for your son. You know why he never did, probably? Because he probably never asked.
His heart was, look at how I'm serving you. You ought to what? Reward me. He wanted to come to the throne of rewards and not the throne of grace. See what I'm saying? It was his father's possessions. It was a privilege that he could serve there. You know what the father said to him? He pleaded with him. He didn't rebuke him. Here it is. Apply this to yourself. Think about yourself, Christian. Here's the father's words to him. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. Do you understand, as a believer, Jesus Christ is ever with you? And all that he has is yours? That's what the Bible says. But the blessed thing about it is, you see, if he gave us all we asked for, we wanted, we would ruin ourselves. Remember the prodigal that ran away? The father in that story gave him as much as he asked for, and it was too much, and he ruined his life. The difference with you and I is our Heavenly Father won't do that. Our Lord won't do that. He's with us always, and all that we have is his, but he'll only dish it out as we can handle it. So we not only have all that we could ever need, but we also will not receive that which we'll abuse from his hand. We have his wisdom along with it. Riches without wisdom is a danger. And yet he says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All we have to do is what? Go and ask him. Spend time at that throne of grace. I've endeavored that in my life I want to spend more time at that throne of grace. And I've enjoyed doing that. It's been a blessing. And I intend to spend more. It's a wonderful place to be before our Father. Praying for that strength, for that direction, for that wisdom, for all he would want, all have for us and want us to do. So let's live through these things a life that can be offered up as a song of praise to our God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your people here this morning. I thank you for David, who could write such a psalm from such deep experience of your deliverance and guidance and direction in such terrible and many times life-threatening circumstances. God, we certainly can apply it to our hearts and lives. I thank you, dear God. Father, again, there'll be one in here doesn't know that they're saved. I pray that they would just realize they're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages for sin, any sin, whether it's just one lie or 1,000 murders, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But there is a way out. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know your blessed word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever just believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's one in here that's never trusted you as Savior and trusted you alone. I pray they'd do that. They just recognize they're a sinner, believe you are the Son of God, believe you died for their sins and rose again, and just claim your promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They could do that like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that you're the perfect Son of God and you died for my sins and rose again. I'm sorry for my sins, and I just want the gift of eternal life. I want to receive that gift that you offer. As best I know how, I call upon your name in faith to receive you as my Savior, to receive that gift of eternal life, to receive the forgiveness that you offer. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If someone prayed something like that or in their own words, they'd be immediately forgiven. They'd be immediately saved. And if that's happened in their heart, I pray they'd share that with someone. You said, whosoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed. I pray they'd share that with someone. Let us know. Father, for all of us who've done that, help us by your grace to sing the song of life, to live in such a way that our life in joy and in sorrow can be a song of praise and faithfulness unto you, even as you have given your life for us and your Son. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you, give you the glory. We
We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.